Welcome to IntelliCast. I am Brian Peterson. Thanks for tuning in. IntelliCast is brought to you by EMI Research Solutions. You can reach out to us by email at intellicast@emi-rs.com or on Twitter at EMI_research or at IntelliCast1. You can also leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 513-401-5463. Joining me today, I have two guests again. It is Jason Inderhees and Tony Brown, fresh from Austin. How are you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Absolutely. Good to be back on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Maybe not for Tony. Tony was on very recently. But as I said, you guys are just back from Austin, and we're actually going to recap that show. So do you guys want to just jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Kind of first off, and we were talking before we hit the record button on here, just what were your overall perceptions of IIEX? It's been third or fourth year in Austin. They've kind of got the set format. So what did you guys think?
It was a good conference. Packed with a lot of great content, just a tremendous amount of content, a tremendous amount of sessions, which frankly is a little bit of a blessing and a curse, because while there's several different tracks and sessions, they only last 20 minutes. So it's hard to get too far in depth with some of the content, but it does give you a great broad overview of all the different things out there that different brands, different companies are doing. I mean, similar to the last few years, the headphones, you know, as you carry the different sessions across, it can be really efficient to move from stage to stage, but a little bit interesting to strike up conversation, but you know, it seems to work out for most of the people there. But it was really great to see others in the industry, hear the latest of what's going on, both on stage and in private conversations.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, and you have to kind of take some of my response to this with a little bit of a grain of salt, because I've been kind of out of the conference loop, if you will, for a couple of years. It's been a while. So like some of the pieces Tony had mentioned there, the headphones, you know, it's all new to me. So I love the experience, you know, and having, like I mentioned, you know, 4 to 5 sessions going on all at one time in the same space, wearing the multi-channel headphones that kind of correspond with the different stages, and then the color scheme they had going on with each one to let you know what sessions people were attending or listening to. So, you know, overall, I found it just a unique and new experience for me, but also, you know, I found it to be just a very efficient way of organizing an event that and really enabling, you know, more sessions to take place simultaneously without kind of the need for, you know, barriers or walling off rooms to avoid any sound issues. And similar to what Tony said, the only downside to this is the fact that everybody's wearing headphones all day long, right? While sitting at a session or waiting in the snack line, or even if they're just walking around, everybody had headphones on all day long. You could go, you know, anywhere and listen to a session from across the room. So it really did kind of minimize some of the personal interaction, you know, that some of that organic kind of, hey, how are you doing? Or who are you with type conversations that historically were there kind of were missing from my perspective. But outside of that, it was good to see a lot of familiar faces. As you know, in the market research world, they may not be with the same companies. So people have changed hands from a company perspective, but still a lot of the same people, a lot of same faces. So it was good to catch up from that perspective. And overall, I will say, you know, the vibe seemed more open and collaborative. Nobody's hiding their badge. You know, like I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, that was commonplace, people flipping over their badge or not wearing one at all. People were really open and willing to connect when they took their headphones off. So that's the caveat there. But definitely, you know, as Tony mentioned, really good sessions, really good content, and overall just a worthwhile conference to attend.
Yeah, I was there last year. The headphones are a blessing and a curse. They're a blessing for introverts like myself and or anybody who doesn't want to talk to anybody. It's essentially that versions of holding your phone to avoid a conversation. But for extroverts or people who want to have conversations like you guys, it's a bit of a curse. Like, ah, oh, they got their headphones in. Do I just interrupt them or do I wait?
Just yank their headphones off.
Yeah.
Like I said, it'd been 2 years or 3 years since I've been to a conference. I had a lot of pent up conference energy to get out. And so it was, it was a challenge, but we got around it. It was good.
Yeah. Well, one thing as a speaker or presenter at this one, the headphones is a little bit of a challenge too, because you most speakers you're going off of the audience like feedback, whether they're getting your jokes or they look interested. There can be times when people are sitting right in front of you, but they are tuned into the session that is across the room. So it's hard to judge, like, are they hearing me? Am I doing well? Is it just falling flat? Like, what's going on?
Well,
did you guys notice that a little bit?
I feel like the number one question I heard all week, or not all week, for the 2 days that we were there for sessions was, can you hear me? Is everybody's audio working? And, you know, they'd get the yes. And it was almost like just like you had to get that out of the way as a speaker to say, who in the heck am I talking to?
Yeah.
Am I up here talking to myself? But I will say, Brian, to the note about are these people here for my session? Are they listening in on something else? They did have the color coded. So there was a light on each side of the headphones that showed whether you were listening to the red stage, the blue stage, the green stage, or the yellow stage, or the purple stage. So if I'm sitting in front of the green stage and I have the purple on, anybody, they're going to know that I'm listening to somebody else. And
yeah,
basically. So they fixed that issue, but they didn't fix the issue of, can anybody hear what the hell I'm saying?
Which is interesting to see how many speakers did mention that right at the start. Wow, this is weird. Wow, this is kind of odd sitting in this kind of environment. So yeah, the speakers felt it as well.
Yeah, I'm guessing there were a lot of new speakers there, because I have a feeling if someone has presented at IIX in the last couple of years, they get the idea. Like, oh, okay, yep, I can see the headphones. People got the color. It's on. I know I'm talking to myself, but I normally see the agendas, and it's a lot of new people talking. So yeah, I can imagine it was a lot of, can you hear me? Is this working? Even though they talk to a tech right beforehand and they are assured it is.
I feel like, you just need like a simultaneous 2 second thumbs up from everybody at the beginning of those sessions, just to take that weight off their shoulders. Like, okay, people can hear what I'm saying.
Well, going in a little deeper, what did you see as some of like the key themes or topics? And I'm probably going to say we all know AI was probably the top one, but what else? We'll talk about AI, but what else?
You want me to dive in, Tony?
Dive in.
AI. AI. Let's see. AI. And did I mention AI? I know you said anything but that, but I came in thinking maybe the agenda, you know, might be a little bit more diverse, given that IIX, I noticed that IIX has a full conference dedicated later in the year that dedicated solely to AI. But you know, that didn't stop it from taking over this conference as well. But you know, no, all jokes aside, I get it. You know, we're as is every industry, we're trying to navigate how and when to leverage new and exciting, you know, world that we live in with AI, and what part it's going and what role it's going to play. But I was, outside of that, I was really pleased to see quality and kind of the ongoing fight against fraud. As I'll call it, the number two, you know, on the hot list, if you will, or priority or topic of the conference. You know, obviously, given our affinity to, you know, for these types of conversations around quality and how we're fighting fraud, it was really refreshing to see this as a high priority and to see it, you know, take center stage throughout both days. You know, really only sitting, you know, in the passenger seat to artificial intelligence. And it really, not only is I think it's healthy for the industry to be moving in that direction, but it also validates, you know, selfishly, it validates a lot of the internal work that we're doing on our end, right, to fight the good fight, and knowing that that's a priority for, you know, full service market research firms and brands and end clients as well. It's refreshing. I'll say that.
Yeah, I would say I agree. Some of the quality aspects, I was going to say, Jason. Those were good to see. And obviously AI was woven into, you know, how do we use AI to improve quality? But nevertheless, it was, you know, the general sense of the constant pursuit of better quality data, more authentic respondents, et cetera. A lot of it was focused on not just, you know, the back end or automated quality assurance, but it was also just design elements of the survey. How do we design a survey? How do we approach a target audience to ensure that, you know, we're treating them with respect? Let's not forget these are people. So it was good to see some of those themes as well. And Microsoft did have a session that was overall about gauging emotions, specifically loving a brand and what that means to love a brand. And they went through a few different scenarios of, some people and what certain brands meant to them and how it tied into their emotions and how it tied into, specific aspects of their lives and different things that are, major moments or major events in their lives woven in through, their experience with a particular brand at that time and how that just was really tied up, their brand loyalty. So that was an interesting session as well. So their AI is absolutely the overwhelming topic, but some other good content as well, for sure.
With that in mind, was there a specific session or sessions that were like your favorite?
Oh man, a lot to choose from. I would say James Allen of BET had a really good one. It was focused on primary research using AI and machine learning when acquiring streaming subscribers. And just interesting to see how they were applying AI to understanding people's streaming habits, what they were streaming, which particular shows, how much of it, when were they, starting to stream and then dropped off a show, they switched to something different, starting to rehash, like bringing up old content. And, if they would kind of bring up old content to the forefront of, somebody's browsing, are they going to more likely stream those? And so kind of what were they streaming before? What are they streaming after? And so using a lot of machine learning to really bring up and refine algorithms to say, okay, this is the kind of content people are wanting. These are the kind of content that gets people to subscribe or continue to subscribe. That was a really interesting one. Gary Rutledge had a great one on Gen Z. Just his focus is entirely, well, not entirely, but his focus, he specializes in Gen Z research. And just hearing some of the quirks of Gen Z, how they view things, and really interesting, made me feel very, very old. But it was interesting, and to see that's the obviously the newer up and coming generation that is a focus of research. That was interesting to hear. And there was a panel led by Jenna Lauer from MarketCast, rethinking brand research, and they had some other brands as well on this discussion. Whole Foods, Strava, EA was there, but it was really interesting to they had this concept of fandom and pinpointing the value of long-term brand loyalty and really the kind of the joining of looking at a lot of analytics from customer behavior, purchase behavior, obviously within like or usage behavior with like say Strava or a Whole Foods purchase behavior, and then with EA, there's the gaming and what they're doing, how they're using games, when they're using games, et cetera, et cetera. So using all that, you're observing that from pulling analytics and also combining that with primary research of certain, survey research of what do you like about this product or that product or this store or that store, or this game or that game. So combining those two for a better overall view of what they were considering like a fandom and an understanding of the customer in a deeper way. Those are some of the big ones that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, honestly, there's quite a bit of an overlap with some of the ones that Tony had just mentioned. But outside of that, there was a it was with Kraft Heinz and Dig Insights. I went obviously out of curiosity there. They It was how to really hear consumers in 2024, and it was just really leveraging different methodologies and how that's kind of. It's been around for a while now, but how they're doing it, kind of some of the new and updated, kind of techniques in that space. I found that pretty interesting. Actually, there was one on enhancing B2B surveys that I thought was really well put together by Scott Worthy over at Quest Mindshare. They did a really good job there of kind of, introducing some best practices, if you will. And again, some of that's in the same vein of increasing and quality and removing fraud. And speaking of fraud, there was one that Cint did leveraging AI and how they're leveraging AI currently. So it was interesting to see how, compared to other companies, how AI is starting to take shape and take just take on its own kind of value add to the industry. It's in a ton of different ways. And then personally, more out of personal appeal than anything was one that the NBA was part of a discussion around kind of its future and what role AI plays in that from a just a data perspective in general. And again, you know, outside of that, just a heavy focus on fraud and quality that are obviously, again, right in our wheelhouse, and try to attend as many of those as possible.
That's great. It sounds like there's a wide variety. When you mentioned the brand one, that sounds interesting because I have to imagine that they are kind of combining multiple different methodologies to get that, whether it's social listening, any sort of social media tracking. You combine your quantitative and qualitative research, purchase data. I'm not even, there's probably other techniques I don't even know about that they're using as well.
Well, I mean, it's getting to the point where you've got data coming from so many different angles, and it's so many different types of data. I mean, we're just an extremely informed population in general, right? And it's immediate and instant gratification. You don't have to wait to hear what people think about you. You've got a million responses to tell you what they think about you within the past week on, you know, Yelp, on, you know, just, you know, just throwing out examples. But it's almost like a data overload. So then the issue doesn't become, well, how do we get the information and how do we get the feedback? It becomes, how do we start to cut this and slice and dice it to make sense of it, right? It's almost, you know, that becomes your problem, as opposed to, I can't get enough data. It's almost, we have an overwhelming amount of data, and how do we know, you know, what we should be listening to or not listening to?
Tony, when you mentioned the guy from BET, I've mentioned on the podcast before, like Nielsen ratings and TV ratings is something I just follow and I'm interested in. And it's kind of bled over into streaming and how it like makes suggestions, how they decide what to keep, what to cancel, because it's not as kind of clear as like broadcast. So I that would be really curious. Are they only was he only talking about stuff for like BET Plus, or was he leveraging it across like Paramount's entire platform?
Well, he was with BET specifically, but it was a little more focused on that in general. But yeah, it was the concept is the same. I was not related to this conference, but I was listening to some other research and insights. And Netflix uses some of the same AI when displaying. You know, if you go into Netflix, you see the different. I don't know what the term is, but the cards or whatever you want to see, you know, as far as like the images, they arrange the shows by, you know, top streaming or new, or, you know, maybe something
Based
you'll
on
like.
your interests.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but there's ways to display those. So, you know, for example, you know, if you like a particular show, the design of that particular card, the way they display it to you, will change based on the other types. So if you like, and I'm on the fly here, I'm failing to come up with a perfect example, but if you're more in tune to watching like comedies, they might show, if there's like a dark comedy out there, they might show more of a comedic, you know, version of an ad for it, because you've been watching more comedies. If you've been watching more, you know, drama or suspense or thriller, they might show more of a dark, you know, a darker, you know, presentation of that exact same show. Because you're more into, so it's, and they just kind of track some of that, how you're viewing, what you're viewing, to display some of those. But it reminded me of that. But no, yeah, James was more focused on mostly the BET streaming.
I would be curious on how they determine some of that when you have like families using it, like mine probably looks like I'm bipolar. Like between the cartoons and the kids shows and then the stuff I watch and my wife watch, they're like, who the hell is this person? Like they're all over the map. I don't know what to show them. Like how, I guess that would probably be the next one. I know you can go into like your profiles, like, okay, well, this is the kids' profile, this is other people's profiles, but it's easier just to go into the same one. So I am going to assume there's going to get to a point like, oh, okay, well, nope. This is a family or multiple people using this account. They have different viewing profiles. So let's see here.
I was about to say, Brian, I think they know. They know
Yeah,
that
probably.
your kids are using yours, or you're using your kids, either way.
Yeah, they know how much my kids have been using it when it shows the so here's suggestions for you and 9 out of the 10 are kids shows.
Right.
That's not what I'm looking for, guys.
Yeah, I get the same thing. Isla, my daughter's always, she's like, well, you know, what are you doing watching, you know, the adult, what do you call it, the different Oh, where you go in and you're choosing which who's watching.
The profile.
Yeah, the profile. Sorry, I don't know why that escaped me, but yeah, what are you doing watching, mommy's profile? And just, well, I like the shows that are in there. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to throw everybody off, and you probably shouldn't be watching those shows anyhow.
Yeah, we haven't separated ours. It's all just rolls into one. There's also
Yeah.
a little bit of like, all right, who the hell is watching that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like, guys, do you have something to say here?
That's good. We should all be using one profile and then keep Netflix and all the other ones on their toes.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about the stuff that went on in the conference. What was your favorite activity outside the conference?
Well, Austin is a fun town. I mean, I've been there a few times, really just for this conference. The Research Club event held ahead of the conference was fun. Good crowd there, good conversations there. What's really neat about, Austin is it's growing so much, and it's filled with several different areas. I mean, the most common or more popular areas, obviously you've got Rainy Street, a lot of great little bars and restaurants there. Sixth Street clearly is a popular one. South Congress, I really hadn't seen much of before. If you go kind of south of the downtown area, a lot of cool little areas down there. I'd stayed over, had a long weekend after the conference to try to explore a little more of it. And unfortunately, the weather got really bad. It got really cold, rainy, cloudy, and I also threw my back out at the last day of the conference, which is a long story. But I guess kind of laid up for a little bit, didn't enjoy as much. But there's a lot of cool green space around Austin. But man, it's a foodie town. If you're into food, everywhere you turn is it's like a different little. There's tons of little food trucks. I think Boston's known for a lot of food trucks. Those are in little pockets, but just even not a food truck, just tons of little mom and pop little restaurants everywhere you turn. It's really kind of cool and interesting to see. Yeah, it's a good vibe.
Yeah, I would. I have a pretty similar answer to Tony here. I didn't get the long weekend, but I also didn't throw my back out, so I feel like I'm okay
Yeah.
today.
The trade-off.
And I didn't miss the unfortunate weather either. But the one piece, and I guess it's part of the conference, but it wasn't on the conference days. The Research Club networking little mixer that. On Tuesday evening was a good time. Shout out to Justin from TorFac for getting us in, and for them hosting that. That was a good little event. They sent a couple passes to Tony and I, so we were able to go to that. But outside of that, I would echo what Tony said. I've always enjoyed visiting, the city of Austin in general. There's not really a specific activity that I did or event that took place that wasn't part of the conference, but just the people, the food. The architecture, the overall vibe has just always kind of struck me as just a really unique and interesting and fun place to visit. So, like I said, I didn't get the extra couple of days like Tony did, but the time outside of the conference walls, it's just always it's a fun city to visit in general. So, I'd love to spend maybe with good weather and good health. I'd love to spend, it'd be a good place I think to go as a couple or as a family and just, really take in the sights and I know they have a really good music scene. I haven't had the chance to enjoy that, but reminds me kind of like a little Nashville, if you will, compared to what Nashville is now anyhow. And but yeah, overall, great city.
Well, you guys both mentioned food. What was your best meal? Since we know Austin is known for barbecue, but what was your best meal while you were there?
Oh, I can tackle this really quick. I'll get out of the way, Tim. This is an easy one for me. We had a client dinner on Wednesday night at Fleming's Steakhouse. And I know you go to Austin. I didn't go to Frederick's for the barbecue or some of the other popular barbecue. In fact, I did not have barbecue, which is embarrassing to say because I love barbecue. And that's all I thought about on the entire plane ride there. And then I didn't have one slice of brisket, which I'll kick myself and I'll continue to. We won't
I'm a
dive
little
into this, but
disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in myself. It's like I said, I'm embarrassed. But we did have a good dinner at Fleming Steakhouse, and I'll give another shout out to Emily and Lynn if they're listening. But the service was top notch, and the food was even better. We had, several of us ordered the filet, including myself. Had a bone-in ribeye at the table. We shared a couple of sides. And then, you add in the bruschetta and the ahi appetizer at the beginning and a couple old fashions, and it was you got an excellent meal. So I would highly recommend if you're not seeking any type of sausages or brisket or barbecue in general, and you're looking for a good steakhouse, I would put Fleming's on that list.
Yeah, I would say it is a meat lover's paradise. I mean, that's one thing that's like, if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, you're gonna go hungry in Austin because there is just so much. Yeah, but a lot of great food. I went with Colson Stieber of Clarity Access. He and I went to dinner at Bangers, which is a sausage place. Like, and they had like, a ton of, it's a really cool vibe. That was one Rainy Street. Yeah, I think several different types of sausage. I had like a jalapeno and cheese spicy sausage, really good. The barbecue, I did have the barbecue, Jason. I had the I couldn't leave without going to Terry Black's, which is a little bit of a tourist trap. Line all the way out the door down to the parking lot, but moves pretty quick, and it was delicious. My eyes were a little bit bigger than my stomach, but I had enough brisket for both of us, so don't feel bad. Another one, yeah, those are some op, but another one that I was in, I asked my Uber driver, one of my Uber drivers, he said he'd been, Austin, like I said, has grown so much. A lot of people have moved in there recently, but I asked my Uber driver how long he'd been there. He said, "Oh, I'm born and raised here in Austin." I said, "Oh, what are some cool local places to go to?" And he mentioned this place called Abba, which is a Mediterranean place on South Congress. So again, down, away from downtown, off the beaten path a little bit. And it was, yeah, Mediterranean place, kind of back behind some shops, and it was delicious, just amazing. So that was a really good one. Some whipped feta, lamb, and chicken kebabs, and yeah, different than the barbecue, but it was, a different vibe than a typical Austin, but delicious.
Man, this is way too close to lunch
I
when we're
know.
recording this to be talking about this.
My
And
mouth is
I messed
watering.
up. It was Franklin barbecue is what I meant, not Frederick's. But
I knew what you meant.
Tony, I'm glad I didn't ask you what you had because you told me the name of the place that you went with Colson, but I didn't. I remember you said sausages, but I'm glad we didn't get into that because I would have been super upset. Just envious in general. Didn't went all the way to Austin and didn't enjoy any of their, and that's it's crazy because I've been there 3 or 4 times, and that's all I've consumed was barbecue, Tex-Mex, some of the staples that Austin's known for, and just really love this one up. But that's all right. It was a good cut of meat with at Fleming's.
Yeah. No, it's I want to thank you guys for coming on today. This was a great recap of IIEX. And with that, I'm going to say thank you and I hope everyone tunes in next week.
Thanks for having us, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.